I'm Anton Krantz, and I'm the Group Program Manager for Link Room Systems on the engineering side over in Redmond. And the talk today is about Link Room Systems overview. But in comparison to Link Conference last year, we're in a little different place than we were when we announced Link Room Systems just on 1 year ago. So first wanted to ask by show of hands, how many of you have deployed Link Room Systems? It's a nice show of hands. How many of you have seen it? And how many of you are aware of what it is? So this is the perfect audience not to go and do a demo of what is a Link Room System. But we have one here. So nice, big, dual screen, 70-inch smart room system. And really what I wanted to do today was cover a few things, which was to say, share a little bit on the momentum of Link Room System since we launched the product. Go through what the partner product lines are that are offered. There is a large and increasing range and will only continue to increase. But most interestingly, what's happening in deployment? I think that's something that is of interest to a lot of you guys, as certainly as I've been on the showroom floor and inside meetings talking to all of you customers and partners. I've heard a lot of questions around what's actually happening in deployment. We're thinking about Link Room Systems. We have it deployed. How is it going? How is it going to be going? How should we think about a deployment of video and Link with LRS in the picture? Look at a product comparison between maybe LRS and some other VTCs, and then go through some best practices and interoperability in terms of deployment and how you deploy it, and talk a little bit about future plans, which is another question I've heard from a lot of you guys, was where are we going to next now that Link Room Systems is out there? So does that sound like a good agenda for everyone here? Anything that you want me to cover that I haven't? We'll have some questions afterwards. Please feel free to come up and ask. We announced Link Room Systems in February last year in San Diego. I've got to say that was a very different Link conference than this year's one. It's very interesting to be in Vegas. But we only launched the product actually in late August. So really we've been in market for about 4 months with both our partners. And when we launched with two partners and five SKUs. So a good range to hit the market to begin with. We updated very quickly, an update in October, which added languages, 27 languages. There was a US regulation called CVAA, which is Accessibility for Video Conferencing Systems. So the October update achieved compliance with that as well. In November, we added perceptive pixel screens for the Crestron SKUs. In December, Polycom signed on as an LRS partner. I'd heard questions from a lot of people on, so what's happening with Polycom? Well, I'm pleased to say that in December, they're in market. They have an offering as well to join our other two partners. We've been very big in deploying Link Room Systems in all our Microsoft technology centers, so customers can easily see one in action wherever you are in the world. As you can imagine, moving these systems around is a little bit difficult. It's not quite the same as doing a Link Mobile demo. I certainly appreciate the flexibility of doing these, but we've definitely ensured that we could locate as many of these systems close to where customers are so that it's easy for you to see them. We're having a February update. This is really our first update that's addressing a lot of the deployment feedback that we've seen and an opportunity to enhance that. So that will be coming at the end of the month. A lot of good updates in there that enhance reliability, address some varying issues that we've seen across a few customers, and making sure that for all customers at large that we have a super reliable update that will enhance your deployment experience. And then we will do an update in April as well after that. There'll be some features coming in there and yet more enhancements. The point here is that we've had a lot of updates to Link Room Systems in the time since we've launched it. And that really is one of the essential pieces of LRS compared to maybe a traditional VTC, which is we have the ability to update it very frequently as we have more improvements, as we have more enhancements. It's not just the product that you bought on day one stays in that state forever. We are able to update it just like you would a desktop or personal endpoint. In the market, we've had a lot of good momentum around LRS. We're in market in 43 countries. There are over 5,000 resellers, which is a significant part of the AV industry. So for a lot of people who've bought video conferencing systems, you buy them through an AV reseller. We've got coverage across all of our partners. across the breadth of AV resellers. There really are very few places in the world, I guess, where you can't get link room systems from your reseller of choice. Of course, it's in deployment in the Fortune 100 across a range of segments, such as banking, oil and gas, pharmaceutical, etc. And we're getting a lot of great feedback there. In fact, I'm delighted to bring on some customers to tell a little bit about their deployment, which I think will be a lot more interesting to all of you than me talking about what LRS can do. We'll hear from them what they are doing with it. And I think they have some great messages to share there. The type of customer feedback that we are getting, things like the simplicity of the product, the fact that it's powerful, that it's integrated with Link, that for users it's just such an easy experience and they get a lot more utilization and productivity as a result, really shows through in some of these customers that we'll hear from. So briefly to recap, and I certainly saw that all of you are familiar with LRS, but I thought I'd just do a recap of why we introduced that product before we get into the meat of how it's doing in deployment. And of course, we had the need now that video is becoming pervasive, which is a big push of ours within Link 2013, and I hope you've seen all the great video investments there, to have a meeting room product that is worthy of the video investments we've made. And what we've heard from customers a lot is, give me something that's just Link. I don't always want to worry about these disparate and third-party video conferencing systems that have their own separate user experience and separate way of integrating. So we're really focused on doing that in an easy-to-use way that enables you to connect remote people and people in a room together in a natural way where none is at a disadvantage to the other. So that's another difference with the video conferencing system, which has been focused on room to room. Ours is about room to room, but also room to person, and the person can be anywhere, whether they're at their desk, at home, on the go, or even in another room. Finally, deployment is an essential part of this. Being able to deploy in an integrated way with the rest of your infrastructure, whether it's running Active Directory, Exchange, SharePoint, Link, all of the management tools that you use to manage your enterprise, we want to use the same to manage link room systems and not have to use a separate infrastructure, which is costly to learn, costly to maintain, and very difficult to integrate. So being able to do this on the same native infrastructure was really a big benefit of link room systems. We did start off by looking at certain meeting room types. You'll notice, for example, that we don't have a link room system for a room of this size. We did look at that and say, well, where do we really want to be? Where do you really need to use LRS in a typical deployment? And well over 90% of meetings that people have, companies have, are in rooms of that size. There's 16 people or less for a conference room. There's 4 to 6 people for a focus room. So we wanted to make sure that we address that segment first and foremost. Those are places where you have interactive and collaborative meetings, which is the heart of a link room system. We definitely look at audio solutions for Link and video solutions for larger rooms, but we've certainly optimized to begin with on the meeting types where information workers spend the majority of their time. We have a lot of range of product that are well suited to those environments. So we announced two partners at launch, Crestron and Smart, as I mentioned, with the 5 SKUs. Polycom have joined in December as well. And the available systems that they have today are a broad range across a host of screen sizes from 55-inch to 70 currently, and I'll talk later about the additional screen sizes that are coming. Interesting to note that in the U.S. we now have the PPI screen display option that is U.S. only right now. That was a new addition since we announced link room systems. If you want to see LRS, highly encourage you, if you haven't, to go to an MTC, talk to your Microsoft account managers and have them show you. Microsoft has MTCs deployed. Smart has some executive briefing centers deployed around the world. Crestron has a few as well. So we have broad coverage where you can see one in action and really use it. And highly encourage you to do those if you want to show others in your company what an LRS is, because a lot of you have seen it already. But we've heard from customers, hey, I'd like to take some of the rest of my company or group to see an LRS. How can I do that? I can't put these things on trucks and set them up. So the MTCs are a great option for that. So So that really was a recap, more than an overview, of LRS, why we built it, what it does right now. But to take it a little bit further and give you an update on how LRS is doing in deployment now that we have them at customer sites, as I said, since late August and really beginning of September, I thought I'd invite up Zia Mansour, who is from our Microsoft Canada office and handles a lot of Link deployments, Link Room Systems deployments. He's been with us since the beginning of the LRS journey. And Zia, welcome.
Thank you, Anton.
Glad to have you on board.
Sure.
So I thought I'd start by asking, what have you seen from your side? You are at the coal face, if I can put it that way, really at the front line. What are you seeing from customers in terms of video, Link, and Link Room Systems?
Sure, yeah. I mean, it's interesting when you just put up that slide around, it's only since August since we launched Link Room Systems. And it just, to me, it seems like it's been, we've had it for much longer. I mean, time has flown by. If you guys saw the keynote yesterday, you saw, I mean, there's been a ton of stuff that we've done in the last 12 months. But I can tell you, as we've been talking to customers, probably the most hottest topic and the biggest customer interest has been around Link Room Systems. And I would say it's because it kind of solves problems that all of us can kind of relate to. I don't know if, how many people saw that meeting, that the video around the meeting rooms that kind of went viral. It was about the meeting rooms in a conference call and kind of reenacting it. And it's funny because when you see that, I think we all can kind of relate to that. And it's similar with video conferencing or collaboration. You know, we have talked to customers, and many of our customers can relate to the fact where, hey, you know, they made this big business case. It's always about video conferencing is around travel reduction. We're going to save a bunch of money for travel, and that's how we're going to pay for these video conferencing systems. But what everyone crosses their fingers is 12 months later, hopefully no one ever checked the utilization. Because that never actually comes to fruition for most of the time because of the challenges. And I think that's why the conversation with customers have been so great with Link Room Systems, is because people can just get it. They see the value of Link Room Systems immediately, and kind of the pain points that they've had with traditional conferencing systems. So kind of put up there in the slide, it just works, right? It's a small thing to say that, but you know, the technology just works. And they feel really, really comfortable about that.
So what I thought I'd do was just fire up a Link meeting and just for effect, highlight the fact, you know, our important promise of it just works. That was a one-touch join. We could bring people in from the showroom floor to view the meeting and participate from a remote endpoint just as if they were in the room here. Even though this isn't an optimized Link room system meeting room size, you could still get the power of us connected to remote attendees as we're talking here. So, Zia, what sort of, if you talk about a typical customer, what sort of value are you seeing them derive from an LRS as they're thinking about video investments? You know, we know that there are customers who come about at this from the video conferencing angle. There are customers who come about this from the desktop angle and personal computing angle. How do they come together?
Yeah, sure. Great point. I mean, you're going to hear later from one of our customers, actually, Greg from Husky, who's going to talk about it. I think he has a great story, so I won't kind of steal your thunder, around you know, the meeting room. And it's a great story around, you know, how he kind of talked to his internal business user and CIO around using Link Room Systems. But the one big one is, I would say, is, you know, around simplicity, and business users love it, is the fact where I would say simplicity and predictable. You know, they know it's going to work. They know that there's not a lot of training involved. And the business user conversation actually been very, very interesting, because we've been able to talk now to, you know, whether it's financial services or a bank or a pharmaceutical company, they're opening up eyes around new ways of using meeting rooms. So, for example, how can I be a remote advisor helping someone from home join a meeting? And it ties in kind of all the different channels and ways of accessing meetings. One of the ones I think about that we don't talk a lot about LRS, and I think is actually one of the biggest value propositions that we talk to customers, is external connectivity. You know, we talked yesterday when Gurdeep talked about universal communications. But one of the biggest items that customers have told us is, how do I get people outside of my organizations into a meeting collaboration room? You know, whether they're coming from a browser, you know, with a Link web app, or a Link client, or wherever they might be. And with Link Room Systems kind of just being Link, but you know, in a larger meeting room scenario, getting external connectivity, whether it's a customer or partner, just ends up being simple. And that's been probably one of the biggest eye-openers when we talk to customers is how easy it is to bring in external participants. So it's not just about conferencing internally like we're used to, but around external collaboration.
So Zia, that's a great point, and I think that spoke to the point about personal computing, personal devices, that communications is really about people. It's not about rooms as such, places that you have to go. You need to be able to communicate and collaborate from wherever you are. And having external connectivity, having great internal connectivity, having great room connectivity, and a video experience that spans them all in a very natural and fluid way, I think, has been essential to the success of Link and Link Room System. Now, of course, that's, I think, a lot about the good side of things. There are no deployments that happen without challenges. Sure. Can you talk a little bit about some of what you're seeing from customers there and how they're doing now that they've deployed them and really starting to use them in earnest?
Yeah, no, I think that's a great point. So you'll see right there kind of the bottom box there. It's been interesting. There have been so much interest around Link Room Systems that's almost superseded kind of where the customer was in their journey of Link. So let's say the customer was on, you know, OCS even. I guess there's still some of those around. And they're so interested in Link, yet they still the foundation has to be there. So you can't jump all the way to Link Room System and expect, you know, this huge, tremendous amount of success. And that's where I think there's been some start-stops with some customers, is you need to make sure, you know, Link is the foundation. Link 2013 environment, you know, everything works from a Link perspective. And, you know, it's not a trivial thing to say that, because many organizations haven't kind of put the due diligence into making sure the foundation is there. So I'd say Link Room Systems, the beauty of Link Room Systems is that it's Link. But that means you got to have a functional Link Room System environment. So you can't just make a jump from, you know, 0 to 80. You got to make sure the foundation is there. So that's probably been the number one thing. So for example, external connectivity, you know, obviously, you know, there's things around our edge server that has to be enabled and tested for. So that I would say has been the number one thing. Other things I would say is, you know, Anton put up that slide around where we position LRS. And I think that's important, because I think we do ourselves a disservice if you try to use Link Room Systems, for example, for a room it's not designed for. Or, you know, Link Room Systems isn't this immersive $300,000 room system. You know, I think the place and time for that is dwindling, but you gotta make sure Link Room Systems delivers you so much more. So I think, you know, setting the right expectations, and, you know, it's not about having three systems, it's about having dozens and dozens. And that's the great thing about LRS. I mean, we started conversations with customers who are doing 4 or 5 pilots of systems, and now they're buying into hundreds. And that's kind of showing you the momentum around how you can have scalable collaboration rooms versus kind of these, you know, 2 per office. And that's really the beauty of LRS.
Great. And I think that was a great point about Link Room Systems being a collaborative system that does great video as well. Really encourage you to look at use cases that unlock that value. That's definitely far more impactful than necessarily saying, I've got, for example, some Cisco systems that are VTC video only. Can I just substitute them directly with an LRS? And you can. The value that you will get is so much more if you have a full LRS deployment that integrates with your video deployment to let your users collaborate naturally as they want to from wherever they are. So just in closing, Zia, where are you seeing customers going from here? What are you hearing in terms of what they're interested in doing, what their plans are moving forward?
Yeah, so the one would be is the pilots now, like I said, the 4 or 5 users ones are now turning into, hey, you know, we can really change the business into getting, you know, dozens and dozens of rooms. So that's, I'd say, one of the big use cases we're seeing now is moving to large deployments. And hopefully hear some of that with some of the customers we're speaking about today. But I'd say that the whole universal communications and external connectivity one is the one that's been the biggest buzz. It's how can we work with customers and partners better and better? And I think the Skype Federation with video connectivity is one use case that many of our customers are talking about.
Okay. Well, that's great, Kazia. Thanks so much. Cool. Thanks for your insights. Very informative.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. So our team remotely said they wanted to hear Zia speak, and that's why I joined this meeting. We're done now, so thanks, everyone, for standing by for that talk. So I think Zia had a lot of great insights in what we're seeing from a broad customer range. What I also thought I'd do was invite up one of our partners, Smart, and Scott Brown, who is the president of enterprise at Smart, to talk a little bit about how it's going for you and what you're seeing. So, Scott, welcome.
Hey, thank you, sir.
Thanks for coming.
There we go. Hey, good afternoon, all. It's certainly a pleasure to be here, so thank you, Anton.
That's great. So, you know, Smart is well known as an education company. Certainly, that's your legacy. Touchscreen systems. People who have kids in school have certainly seen smart boards. Can you talk a little bit about why you decided to get into the enterprise video and collaboration space as a slightly different angle than you'd had previously?
Yeah, certainly be happy to. And Anton's absolutely correct. So we have a very rich legacy in the education space at Smart. So we've been in the education world for about 22 years. And, you know, again, our primary focus was enabling collaborative classrooms. And so we really wanted to make sure we were shipping really, really good hardware and innovative software to allow for what we consider to be multi-directional collaboration. So not just the teacher teaching, but the teacher interacting with students in a way that was more productive in the classroom. And as we started this journey, we thought, wow, you know, there's actually some really cool collaboration stuff going on in the workplace that we're missing out on. And so that was where we started our journey with Microsoft about 2.5 years ago. And we helped contribute to the emergence of the LRS system. And again, we committed engineering resources and sales and marketing and market research and the whole thing. And we're just thrilled to be here. And, you know, like I tell people, it's fun to have a product that's been hardened by K through 12 people. Because, you know, we know it's relatively rugged, right? I mean, you got spitballs coming at it and people touching it, and it's relatively rugged. So feel really, really strong about that. But that's why we're here. And what we're finding is, you know, the collaborative nature, as we all know, because it's the industry and the world we live in, is even at a heightened level in enterprise. So the demands are that much greater and the innovations need to be that much faster.
Well, that's great. Maybe I'm thinking of putting one of these displays in that booth about the tossing, you know, the thing that hits the gong. Near the link area, maybe we can see how it stands up there.
That's right, baby. Field hardened. Absolutely.
But, yes. But can you talk a little bit about what you're seeing from customers? Certainly great to learn why Smart is interested in the enterprise space, but what are customers seeing as they're looking at link room systems and SRS?
Yeah, so, you know, really two elements that, you know, I get personally excited about. You know, one is, as a person that spent most of my career as a remote employee, you know, I always felt that I was at a disadvantage from my peers who were in a physical meeting room having a productive dialogue, and I was the guy on the phone eating a Hot Pocket and reading Sports Illustrated, right? I wasn't engaged, and there really wasn't, you know, the receptiveness for me to be engaged. I felt like I had to work twice as hard to have the same level of productivity. And so when you think about the room system, it's a great enabler for in-room collaboration. It's outstanding in terms of brainstorming and collaborating on content, but it's equally progressive if you're outside the room. So I think about, you know, the contribution of human behavior shouldn't be minimized because you're not physically in a room with other folks. So
I think that's a great point and speaks to, you know, it's not just about room to room. It's about more than that. It's room to room and people and wherever people are. From the link individual desktop and personal endpoint perspective, it's about people and the rooms they connect to. Both are equally important. The days of being able to prioritize one over the other, I think, are gone, and very important to have the meeting room solution that you choose support that.
Absolutely. And the second point Z actually touched upon, right? It's the simplicity. And, you know, I'm pretty self-aware enough to talk about the fact that I think I'm like the third generation of my family to walk upright. I'm not that smart, right? So as a product
tester... But you work at Smart.
I do, but it's a bit of a misnomer. But as a product tester, I'm like the perfect guy, right? Because I'm not very bright. I just need to be able to walk into the room and not only instantiate a meeting, but also help other folks join. That's important. But equally important is, how do we actually now collaborate and share content and ink and do all the really, really cool stuff the room is able to do without me having to burn a bunch of, you know, brain cells trying to figure it out? So it's dead simplicity and expediency in terms of productivity.
So great. Well, we are among friends here, so I did want to talk or ask you a little bit about what challenges you're seeing in deployment as well, now that customers are starting to deploy a few of them, going beyond the proof of concept phase. How is the experience going? What are you seeing?
Yeah, so on the positive side, we're hearing really, really good customer feedback and momentum around room dimensions and sizes. So even though we've only been in the space and the product's only been launched now for about 12 months, we've actually had to increase our portfolio of sizes to meet customer demand. So that's a great thing. So, you know, we started the 55-inch, dual 55, 70, dual 70, 84, and then the dual 84 Dallas edition, which is really cool. But because of that, we're able to reach...
Dallas edition? Dallas, why Dallas edition?
Because, you know, it's kind of like gals in Texas with big hair, and yeah, everything's bigger, right? So you just have the Dallas edition.
Okay.
So
obviously
if there's
not
any
Calgary.
Texans in the room, I apologize. Yeah. But because of that, that's been good. On the challenging side, and I'm glad my friend Rob's in the audience, right? Because he's going to echo this one. If you think about the purchase behavior of a room system, I liken it to any of you that may have lived through the IPT kind of launch, where selling or deploying IPT felt really strange because you had telecom guys and networking gals in the same room. And it felt really unnatural because normally, unless they bumped into one another in the kitchen, they didn't really work together. And what I'm finding with this technology is equally strange, where you have facilities guys, designers, AV guys, and networking gals. And so you have this convergence of, you know, different competencies that force us all to work together. And so, you know, I commiserate to Rob. There's many AV resellers that don't really want to learn about Link. They love going in and hanging gear on the wall and coring floors and doing all that really cool stuff. But when it comes to Link, they're really maybe disinterested. On the flip side, there's many brilliant SI partners around the world that we work with every day that really aren't too hip on hanging stuff on a wall. It's not what they do. And so we're finding this really unique convergence of capabilities and technologies where the first few that we're doing requires a whole family of talented folks to get it done. So I'd say that's probably a key learning that we have going on right now.
Okay, great. So I think you just passed the point of proof of concept phase now and kind of hitting the tipping point of the next phase. Where do you see things going from here?
You know, I was going to say world proliferation and dominance. And that's not
a good term to use, just by the way.
That's designed. And so I'm sure someone will edit this out. That's not a smart statement. That has nothing to do with smart technologies. That's the form factor. That's the room system itself. The concept is it's an incredible enabler of productivity. It does recognize, as I said, that human contribution. So I think that it's going to reach a tipping point where I think we will, we collectively as a family will have supply chain constraints potentially. Because globally, we're seeing the uptick to be really, really aggressive right now.
Okay. Well, that's great. Scott, thanks very much
for
your insights. Great to have you on. Scott will be here through Sunday night at the Polo Lounge. Anyone who wants to see him there.
My other life is a showgirl. Edit
that's
that, too,
right.
Please.
There's an image to think about. But what I thought we would do is go beyond here. You know, you've heard from Microsoft. You've heard from one of the Link Room Systems OEMs. But really, we're about customers and customer usage. So I'd like to invite up Greg Gerwing from the Canadian oil and gas sector to talk a little bit about what you're seeing since you've deployed. Greg, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Anton. So I'd just like to make the Dallas edition comment that the company that shall not be named that I work for up in Calgary, Alberta, if people are familiar, we're kind of the Wild West of North America. We have one of the biggest rodeos in the world. So we actually got a dual 84. I'm going to call it Dallas next time I visit it. So, but yeah, we're a fairly large oil and gas corporation based out of Alberta, but national and international, and big presences all over the world. So collaboration and interop and teleworking and all these things are a major, major part of everything we've been doing for a long time.
Right.
And so LRS really, really started resonating with us.
Good. So I think you're talking a little bit about why you're interested in Link and LRS, and you were telling an interesting story about where you were a year back when you were looking at a unified communications deployment and where you got to.
Yeah, so for this slide here, for people who have been in the AV space for a long time, you're going to recognize a lot of this. You know, we spend a lot of our time trying to integrate all these different pillars, and it is incredibly painful. None of this stuff was really designed and intended to work together, and we get really creative, and we spend a lot of time and energy trying to make so. So back in November 2012, we were focused on how do we get there, and then we had no idea LRS came along, and then last year, LRS was announced just as we were really picking up our enterprise voice deployment, and it really hit a really great note for us. So we were really excited. We're also very fortunate. We're in Calgary, so we tromped across town and went over to the smart offices and actually got to look at the stuff in person.
Okay. Great. So now that you have it deployed, how are things going? How long have you had it up and running? Where do you have it up and running? What are you hearing from your your end users.
So what we did is we kind of got an eval unit in because it really seemed like this thing is too good to be true. It's so transformative versus what we'd seen. So we snuck a demo unit onto one of our IS floors in the back corner, and suddenly my boss grabs his boss, grabs the CIO, and he instantly rescheduled all of his meetings to this space without really giving us any warning. And I was really, really worried because, quite frankly, this guy, he's not an IT person. So it really needs
to work. Few CIOs are. I just want to put that out
there. It's not his job description. So he went into this space and he said, Greg, I'm using it. It better work. And he showed up with 20 people the next day. And before I could even get in the room, he was there and he poked it and it worked. And all his people showed up because we have a link across the organization. And then he just looked at me before I even got in the door. He said, we're good. You're done. See you later. And he rescheduled every meeting to this tiny little space. And he has a huge, huge space to himself that he just built. Brand new Polycom equipment, and this stuff, because it worked and he could own the experience, that was transformative to him. It made all the difference in the world.
Great, and that's definitely a great benefit of what you're seeing. I think there were a few other benefits that you mentioned that you were seeing you were achieving in real terms. Can you talk a little bit about that?
So immediately following on that, we were really empowered to start rolling this out. So training is spectacular. Just being able to walk into the room and within a few minutes in one training session, people can own the room and feel safe and secure. The fact that it's fast. Adoption is really, really easy with this. Cost savings, it's at the bottom on my list because that does not really drive adoption. It's great for my CFO, it's a great story, but it's really the ease of use that we find people really, really passionate about. And it's actually such a broad impact, it's driving people back to asking questions about Link. So now that people are going into these rooms, they're asking about conferencing and screen sharing at their desk now that they're excited about the whole system.
That's a good point, and I think it almost mirrors what Scott and Zia were saying earlier around, you know, Link has a lot of power in video and collaboration. Linkroom Systems is part of that family, and you achieve the benefit together, but Linkroom Systems is also opening up a lot of customer eyes to a lot of the features that are in Link 2013 that you may have known about since you've used OCS or Link, but just may not be as directly involved if you haven't deployed, and there really is benefit in deployment.
Absolutely. So we every time I run a training session in a link room, the very first thing I ask is, how many people knew you had a free conference bridge and you didn't need to use that other stuff? 10% of the people raise their hand, and they've been using Link for a year and a half on Enterprise Voice. And every single one of them leaves the room saying, I can use that. Same thing with screen sharing. Every single one of them actually now has the confidence, because they're so confident in Link that we've had it for a couple of years, that they're actually now taking that back to their entire life.
Okay, great. Well, I assume it's not always a bed of roses, so can you talk about some of the challenges you might be seeing and what you want to see coming and where your plans are going?
Yeah, so in the traditional AV space, the great stat that my CIO gave me is he had 0 of 7 successful meetings with his senior management team when he had his traditional room, and he has 7 out of 8 successful in the link room system. It's not perfect, but it is such an improved experience that people are really, really happy. Oh, you know what, there's some rough edges here, and this button doesn't always work 100%. But because it is such a vastly improved experience, they're really, they're passionate, and they're pushing me, and I'm pushing everybody really hard, and I'm happy to see all these new features coming on stream so quickly, right, to actually be able to deliver. That's giving us and my management team a lot more confidence in the product and to work through some of those challenges.
Well, that's good. So my takeaway that I'm going to take back to our team is we've obviously got 1 out of 8 meetings that we need to make work. But to your point, the ability to update and the fact that we have been working on a lot of updates in rapid succession to Linkroom Systems is important for us to be as responsive as we possibly can to all customers in deployment.
And to also build on the earlier point of just to get in some technical detail about, you have to have a really solid 2013 environment. That's not hard to do. It's definitely achievable. And once you've done that for Enterprise Voice, Link Room System is just another Link client.
Great. So I think in closing, you had a lot of good quotes from your end users on what they were seeing with LRS.
Yeah,
so that a little bit.
The first one we chatted to, and it was totally unsolicited and unplanned, and that's what we've actually found very exciting about Link and Link Room System, is that users are running away with it much, much faster than my team can actually get it out there, and I have people clamoring for all the features. And now the fact that people actually can walk in the room and within 5 seconds actually have their audio and video up, it's really, really helped us out. and obviously costs. The fact that we're actually able to reduce costs so much has mean what we're actually doing is now that it's easy to put them in, it's faster to put them in, we're going into spaces that we could never sustain an AV footprint that large. We're already really aggressively tackling spaces that we could never do before because it's so easy to do. And that's a huge enabler of business.
Great. Well, Greg, thanks so much for your insights.
Thank you.
Great to hear your story, and I wish you every further success in your deployment.
Thank you.
Thank you. So another customer that we have in the healthcare segment is Adventist. You may have heard from them in the keynote, but I thought I'd invite up Chris Stone to talk a little bit about your deployment. Welcome, Chris.
Well, we're obviously a healthcare system, and our CTO being here definitely speaks to where we want to go with Microsoft Link, and he's really excited about it as well. He didn't just fly out for the keynote. He's been here all week going through meetings, and one of my colleagues is actually speaking right now kind of to our journey. This is kind of a slide just about where we are and kind of who we are, what we do. You can see we're very clustered but very spread out at the same time. So if you like to fly, you can come work for us. If not, it's tough.
Yeah, how's that northeast weather working out for you guys?
You know, I'm glad this is in Vegas, not in Boston. So this is basically where we're at, 70,000 employees, so we're a pretty big company. And we're looking forward to having everybody out there. Next slide's got actually how many people we have in our tiers. So we've got 52,000 people enabled right now with Microsoft Link. That didn't obviously come without any pains. We started off with OCSR2, went through 2010, and now we're fully deployed on like 2013. And like Zio said earlier, you gotta have a solid platform for your deployment, otherwise you'll fail. And I think that's been a really, really good thing for us is I actually didn't experience that some of the pains that I read about when I deployed my Link RLS because we had a really solid platform and really solid people that we were able to collaborate with to get it out there to our users. And when that happened, they were very, very excited. This is just some stats about what we're doing. So we're doing 95,000 peer-to-peer IMs a day, 2,000 web conferences a week. So when we saw when we started to do some information, when we saw how many web conferences we were doing, that's when we decided we really needed a tool for our users because we can't just give them the link, which is awesome, and then say, all right, that's it. It's always about what's next, what's going to improve collaboration.
So. Right. And what are you seeing now that you are in deployment? What are some of the feedback that you're getting from your end users?
They're really liking the click to call. The one button join, and like I talked about in the keynote with the one voice to join from the phone, that was pretty cool. I really see that, being able to take this form factor that it's in now, being able to bend that as the years go on and to be able to get it, by the patient beds, we really are doing some neat stuff with that. And I think the link room systems are going to help follow on because right now, we're using iPads or Surfaces or whatever it is. We didn't really have a platform, and now we have this LR system that you just walk in, push the button, it's done. You don't have kind of a clunky app that you're running for a nurse, where it's a consumer device and they've got, all the rest of the stuff on there.
Great. So what sort of differences in usage or changes in usage patterns are you seeing now that you've deployed LRS in terms of how your end users are collaborating or using their workflows?
Well, I run the video for, we've got 200 plus H323 legacy endpoints. So I've got a big fire suit that I wear most of the time. This is really helping me.
Asbestos lined.
Yeah, this is really helping them because, what we were talking about earlier with the 2-minute training video, being able to walk in, know your meeting, get it started on time. We've wasted millions of minutes in the first 10 minutes with our legacy Cisco, I said it out loud, enterprise deployment. And, being able just to start on time, when you have doctors and, CTOs and those people, they don't really have a lot of free time. So why do you want to sit in there and for 15 minutes trying to get somebody unmuted? We have great,
I can't think of a good reason.
Yeah. I don't like the feeling when I'm staring in there and I'm like, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Great. So what are you seeing in terms of challenges or things you'd like to see improve or what it'll take to get you to the next level?
So I think the next steps for us is definitely like as these come out, seeing different form factors. Right now, as far as challenges, we've had every call we've had has been successful except we had a dead pixel in one of our displays. But, considering it was a demo unit, all the rest of them went perfect, we haven't had one fail yet. So we've been pretty lucky. I don't know if you want to call it lucky. It sounds like being good. But, it's been really well for us. So getting the form factors to change and then just the ease of use is such a crucial thing for us.
OK. Okay. Well, thanks so much. So where do you see things going forward from here?
I see us buying a lot more.
That would be good news to the OEMs, yeah. I'm sure.
No, but definitely buying more products and continuing our journey with Microsoft Link, getting more enterprise voice users. So.
Okay. Well, Chris, thanks so much. Great insights.
Appreciate
and it. Glad to have you on. I think give a hand to all of our guest speakers. Really appreciate them coming and sharing their stories, and I hope that they were helpful to you all, and feel free after the session to ask questions directly of those who are deploying it. I think it's so much more impactful to hear from people who are really out there deploying, using, dealing with the pros and cons, you know, making sure that you derive all the value out of it that you really want, because at the end of the day, it's real money being spent, it's real time being spent. There are alternatives that also involve real money and more money and more time, and you know, I thought what I'd do there is just do a quick product comparison between Link Room system and a video conferencing system. So some of the questions that I get is, you know, what kind of a VTC is Link Room systems? And it isn't really about that. We don't see Link Room systems as a traditional legacy video conferencing system. We see it as the alternative and the replacement for that, because you know, we're seeing really that industry is being disrupted now. The days of paying tens and $20,000 and $30,000 and more for a single purpose device that only really does one thing between two sites, those days are kind of on the wane. And really it was about this communication and collaboration wherever you are, whenever you are, on whatever device, whether the device is this small or that big. So a few things to think about comparing Link Room systems, which sells in the VTC category, but we don't think of it as a VTC, compared to a traditional VTC. One is, and this should be no surprise for Microsoft, is we really do believe in the power of software. We've believed in this since the beginning, and it's just held more true over time, not less true over time. So because we build on industry standard hardware, and with some definitely leading edge enhancements, but this is using PC power computing, which advances at a far more rapid rate than these custom ASICs that the VTCs use. So that definitely is one big thing that lets us unlock the value of the Link platform, lets us do these updates as quickly as we do, which you certainly wouldn't get on a VTC, but lets us bring features and enhancements to customers quicker. And, you know, it's very interesting. I kind of heard quite a few comments around in the months leading up to this Link conference around, well, does anyone really want a software-powered VTC? Isn't the industry very well established in terms of this multi-billion dollar per year VTC industry with its two major incumbents? And it kind of got me to, I was glad I saw these in the lobby, because it got me to thinking about that. You know, how many people remember a Nortel phone? But we had exactly that same debate in the late OCS 2007 days around, well, telephony, why on earth would you do IP telephony with software-powered communications when this has been the state of the art for so long? And I think, you know, it'll fade right as well, in pretty much the same way that it did, that the video conferencing space will fade right in pretty much the same way that the telephony space already has, and it just really helps to position yourself for that. I talked about us being people-centric as opposed to necessarily room and device-centric. Rooms are important. People are important, but it really is about what you want to get out of your communication more than where you have to go and how you have to figure out which other place you have to call to make a connection. Collaboration is broader than just video. You can certainly go and spend $300,000 on a fancy room that'll go room-to-room video, but we really believe that is increasingly beside the point. That was useful when you had executives in one site talking to executives at the other site, and there really wasn't people-powered communications as broadly available as it is now, but the future is really about collaboration in a rich and natural way that includes video, with an integrated user experience that's familiar to people who are familiar with desktop, tablet, and phone form factors and very savvy in using them. You can't expect them to learn a remote control-based interface to initiate a call with another room that they may not know. And then finally, the integrated IT management is really essential. You know, if we built this and delivered this product and it had to be separately managed in a way that is not already well familiar to the broad mass of IT administrators in the world, that would be doing them a disservice, as well as missing the point of really what a link room system is. It's a system, it's not just an endpoint. So I think Chris did mention the dirty word Cisco, but we can say it here. If you do a comparison between link room systems and a Cisco VTC, I'm sure that salespeople from both companies will give you a comparison, but I thought this is the way I think about it sometimes. You can certainly get a dual screen Cisco profile VTC, if you like. You'll notice they've got content on the right, there it is, video on the left. But that really is a single layout. The reason that they can only do that is because they use video codecs, so they can have one on the right and one on the left. So if you want a gallery split across two screens like we do today, they can't do that. So the point being that your usage of that system is quite limited in its flexibility, whereas we believe that collaborative video system should be very flexible. Next slide, comparing SKUs by display size. Having a broad range that can suit multiple meeting room types is important, and as you can see, we believe in that very much. Cisco certainly have a range as well, but you can get screen sizes of any type that you want. Note that ours have touch compared to the Cisco system, which doesn't have touch. So, okay, maybe that was interesting. You think about, well, there's a comparison between the two, and you get some here and some there. But in terms of the cost of it, and I'm just going off MSRP, so as you talk to your OEMs, feel free to drive a hard bargain with Scott or guys from Crestron, but in terms of the list prices that they're advertising, a single screen 65-inch link room system is coming in at about $20,000. That same Cisco system is, and I have to get up closer to make sure I see this, $90,000. And the reason I say that is because you might say, well, where do you get a list price of $90,000? Well, if you enable the 1080p high definition, that's an add-on option. If you enable the best audio that they've got, that's an add-on option. And, I mean, I love Bose sound as much as anyone else, but I don't want to pay $20,000 for it as an add-on. So, sure, you can get the base system, but if you want to make it equivalent to the extent that you can, that's about the list price of a single screen. If you look at a dual screen, they're at about $28,000 compared to, I hesitate to say, but that's over $100,000 for a dual screen 65-inch Cisco system. So Greg talked about cost not being important, and that is certainly true for end users, but for those who do care about it, the CFO types, that's an interesting comparison just to think about. So that was a little bit about what you hear from the field, how customers use the product, thinking about comparisons, because we get a lot of great questions about how do you think about LRS compared to Cisco or another legacy VTC, let's say. A few things I thought I'd leave you with was just talking about deployment best practices. There definitely are steps you can take that will set you up for maximum success, and we have a deployment guide. We have a great support team who can help in ensuring that you do set yourselves up for success in deploying LRS. And I thought a few points I'd leave you with were, firstly, plan your topology. You could be on-prem, you could be online, you could have a hybrid environment. It's always good to go through a solid assessment of where is your link topology, where is your exchange topology, Active Directory, how you're replicating that, meeting room accounts, how you're configuring them. Follow the best practices, and it definitely goes very smoothly from that point. All our guest speakers talked about making sure that you deploy and validate a Link 2013, Exchange 2013 deployment. If you're moving to that environment, make sure that that's up and working very well before deploying LRS. Of course, a lot of you may be on Link 2010 now thinking about a migration, and you might say, I don't want to move to Link 2013 just yet all up. But certainly start by standing up a pool and then get users migrated to it for deploying LRS. It'll have a few benefits. One, helps you for your deployment when you plan on moving that way, because obviously a lot of customers are interested in moving to Link 2013 for its benefits. You get to achieve the benefits on the LRS out the gate. And actually, we found that when we moved some users onto that pool, they got to see a lot of the benefits as well, like multi-party video, a lot of the great Link 2013 features, and that really drove adoption. And adoption drove usage drove benefit. It became a virtuous cycle. staying on Link 2010 or OCS maybe, you don't achieve the benefits that are out there to be reaped as quickly. So that was a thing about deploying your in 2013 environment, configure the meeting room accounts and policies, install the latest cumulative updates for Link Room systems as well as for Link Server. We do a lot of testing on the latest builds and make sure that those work across topologies. There are a lot of enhancements that go into these builds that may be directly related to Link Room systems, maybe just to do with Link overall in general, but you get the most benefit when you're on the latest latest cumulative updates, and encourage you to do that before starting your usage. And then configuring the management tools, we have SCOM, System Center and Operation Manager, the admin portal, has really helped us manage the rooms that we have worldwide from a single place in a very easy and intuitive way. So deployment of LRS was definitely one point, but the question I get a lot is video interoperability. So I thought I'd ask, by show of hands, how many of you have third-party video conferencing systems deployed already? How many of those are Cisco? And I won't record this. How many of them are Polycom? So the vast majority, basically, of people in the room are deploying third-party VTCs that are Polycom or Cisco. There are really a handful of others out there if you, by comparison. And a question I get a lot is, now what do I do with those? Do you expect me to throw them away just because I'm buying Link Room systems? And of course not. That would not be a sensible thing to do. We invest in video interoperability to enable you to migrate over time. So no customer would do, nor would we expect you to throw away legacy video conferencing systems immediately. So we do enable interoperability that allows you to move to Link infrastructure over time in a way that's natural for you, that lets you reap the benefits of a Link deployment. So firstly, a native Link environment supports multiple endpoints, and that's what this section shows, a Link client, mobile on the various clients, Windows Phone 8, iOS, Android, etc. So there are Link clients across pretty much every environment at this point for native connectivity. We also have a video interoperability program, which is through a set of standards and specifications that we provide to partners. Polycom is a partner, for example, who build like the HDX that is compatible with Link. You can register it as a native endpoint, use it just like you would any other Link endpoint, and that is through our interoperability program. Coming soon, and we talked about this in a few other sessions as well, we'll have the video interoperability server, which is a gateway between Link deployments and predominantly Cisco systems. And the reason we prioritize Cisco first is that is an environment that doesn't natively work with Link right now. There are a lot of Cisco VTCs out there, so our video interoperability server will focus there first. For the Polycom systems, they are already interoperable largely through the interoperability program. So we have two ways to cover the majority of video conferencing systems that are currently used to get video into a Link environment. So that's through the formal program that we have of video interoperability. You can also go through gateways. If you implement the redline protocols for Link, which some customers have done or have bought equipment from vendors that do, if you make a P2P video call from Link today to another endpoint, as long as that endpoint looks the same to you as another Link client does, you can have a video call. So what some solutions out there let that endpoint actually be a video bridge. And that's not through our formal interoperability program, but it does allow you to connect those third-party video conferencing systems to a Link environment. So that really is a short run-through of how video interoperability works and ensuring that when you are looking at an LRS deployment, you can deploy it in a heterogeneous environment in a way that lets you move at the pace that you want to achieve the value of a full Link deployment. So looking at upcoming SKUs, I talked about having more and more screen sizes for more and more room sizes. I think Greg and Chris certainly touched on that as they talked about their deployments, being able to deploy in a variety of different sizes, and we will further build out that matrix. You can see that we have, for instance, 75-inch, 84-inch, 55-inch across the board. So coming up very quickly after the LRS product launch, and our partners have been great in bringing a lot of that to market as quickly as possible. Polycom have also announced the CX5100, or are announcing it. That will be a camera option for Linkroom systems. We expect that to come probably sometime towards the end of the second quarter, and would encourage you to visit their booth and see how that works, to see about some camera enhancements that are coming as well. Since we've deployed Linkroom systems in about August, we have updated a few times, and this really speaks to being able to get updates out as rapidly as possible that bring features that address feedback that customers have given, or handle the environment in which Linkroom systems are deployed, as well as, and we do see this, there are always glitches that happen in one environment or another, so we want to make sure that we are responsive to the high priority ones. And our cumulative updates that we've had coming out on a pretty regular cadence since we launched the product have addressed that. We are having an update at the end of February. There's a lot that's going in there around SCOM, the System Center Operation Manager, licensing and activation for the product, joining meetings. Depending on what client you're scheduling from, we noticed that some meetings would show up in the LRS, some wouldn't. We made sure that we handle from whatever environment, on whatever client you're using, making sure that that square with that join button appears reliably, because that's really the best usage scenario that customers want. And after the February update, we'll have one coming in April as well. So we'll be able to continue to enhance the product, bring updates such as a feature that we're calling Room View. And if you want to see a little bit more about how that's intended to work, I encourage you to visit the Smart Booth to see how you can have an in-room PC connected to a content capture cable for customers who want a bit more flexibility than sharing content only through Link, because you might have some specific industry vertical application that you want to keep always running. So real message here is about updates happening on a frequent cadence, making sure that we are as responsive as we can be to the deployment feedback that we're getting. So thought you might, question that we do get is, so what's next after Linkroom Systems V1 is launched? Where do we see the product going? Well, I thought I'd start by sharing what our vision and approach was for Linkroom System. And this really touches on some of the points that I've made at the beginning of the talk, which is we believe Linkroom Systems is the best meeting experience for Link. If you're thinking about a meeting room and you want to put technology in there, and you have your majority, your broad user base using Link, the best meeting experience that you should have should be with LRS. We build it for immersive collaboration. It's not just about room-to-room video. That has to be good, but it's about what you can do with the video when you have it up and running. Built for any environment. You shouldn't have to be in a certain area on a certain deployment topology. You should be able to use it on-prem, online, hybrid, as you wish. But the point I'd like to make here is we build Link meetings with LRS in mind. So meetings across the whole Link division is an important investment area. And we make sure when we build features within the meetings environment that they show up well on LRS, that they are applicable for LRS, as well as taking requirements from rooms to drive into our meeting solution. So we really think about a range of endpoints, not just optimizing for any particular one. And then ongoing investments in high-value areas. Audio, video is always important. We continue to improve as the codecs enhance, as we move from RT video to H.264 SVC. We certainly implemented that. As we move to H.265, as that becomes more prevalent, and I'm talking years out here, but just giving you an idea of the approach overall, we'll certainly continue to invest there. We'll continue to invest in camera options, improved optics and so on, and in the meetings area overall. So with that in mind, we have the current product line focused very much on enhancing the reliability, deployability, any deployment feedback that we see, we want to make sure that we address to ensure that you as customers can use it in a valuable way. The video interoperability server is an important part of that, and that will be coming later this year. Manageability, we talked a lot about end user, but manageability is just as critical, and we'll continue to invest there. And then incorporate deployment feedback as we get it. So that's the current product line. The future investments, enhancing the immersive nature of collaborations, things like multi-touch, things like getting content on multiple screens. We've heard that question a lot, is I've got these two large screens. When one of them isn't occupied by video, can I have some content up there? We definitely see that as a future direction. And again, I'm not talking time frame specifically here. I'm just talking about direction of the product. Further camera options, we're starting to bring those to market. And then more remote manageability and more meeting spaces to ensure that you can deploy it in further areas that you may not be using today. So there are some other sessions. There's another one tomorrow, I think, on deploying LRS. I talked a little bit more about product than necessarily deployment and deployment steps. Unify Square have a great session on deployment steps next. I think that's tomorrow. I encourage you to go there. Our partners will have a great presence at on the showroom floor. Please take a look at each of their offerings. Feel free to ask detailed and in-depth questions about how they work and make sure that you get all your questions addressed there. And just in wrapping up, I think we've seen a lot of momentum around LRS. I hope you heard that from some of our partners, customers, and field. Great learnings from initial deployment that we're very focused on making sure that we provide further enhancements to LRS, to customers, so that you can get the benefit of those. There are best practices that encourage you to familiarize those so that you can get the most benefit most quickly of an LRS deployment. And we've really only just begun. This is 4 months in since we've launched the product. It's not the last iteration of the product we expect to do. We really believe in this category. We believe in the product. We believe in the value that it adds to Lincoln, to meetings overall, and to the value that you can get out of that. So we are definitely continuing and investing further in a lot of the areas that I talked about. So with that, I hope that you found that informative and would be happy to take any questions if you have. And please feel free, we've got a few minutes left to ask any questions you may have or things that I haven't covered.
So with the amount of change that you're going through, are you including backward compatibility with everything?
Backward compatibility of which area specifically? Great. Sure. So great question around backward compatibility as we do these updates. We do an extensive, what we call a regression test pass to make sure that the update that we provide works with the previous environments that it used to work with, and that is an ongoing part of every update and every major release that we do. Yeah. Good. So question around the video interoperability server, when is it coming out? And I think in some of the other meeting sessions, there might be content around this. We have announced that there will be a TAP program coming out for Link Server vNext, whatever that is. That is not a product name, I just want to say. But that will be Link Server, the next version of Link Server will be coming out later in the year. And the video interoperability server is part of that. So the other part of your question was, I talked about focus on Cisco, why Cisco necessarily and not any others. We do find that that is certainly the majority deployed share of systems that don't already interoperate with Link in any way today. So we focused on Cisco there. And then the other question was around Polycom. Why is Polycom not part of the video interoperability server? In the first iteration, we've looked at Cisco first because Polycom, you can already do interoperability through our Link Video Interoperability Program. We may choose over time to enhance the functionality of the Video Interoperability Server, but that was why the choice at release time was the products in those order. Well, so it firstly, it's around the Cisco single codec VTCs, just to be specific. It's not TIP systems yet, which are the multi-screen telepresence systems. But each H323 system has its own vagaries. Everyone says that they are standards-based, but then you've got to look at the asterisk and say, well, what does that mean for this particular message flow? When I try and do a re-invite, what's going to happen to me on the SIP world when I try and do an H323 dial out or virtual meeting room, join, what will happen to me there? And the issue is that until you actually go through the effort of figuring out exactly how these systems do work, you may find that certain edge cases don't quite work the way you expect. So that's why we've said that the Cisco systems, and there are a range of models that we'll talk about, are the ones that will work. It's possible that other systems may as well, but you kind of got to go through a pretty detailed exercise to make sure that each of those messages actually does work. So in terms of infrastructure, what do you mean? Yeah. Right. So I think, I think, you know, the idea about interop is that you still leave the environment that you have while you're in the process of migrating and building out your infrastructure and enhancing and deploying more and more rooms. So I would expect you to leave your Codian infrastructure there while it's still running to do whatever you're doing with those Cisco VTCs today. What the video interop server enables is bridging that environment specifically from the endpoint side to the link environment. And then over time, you can choose to migrate as you wish. Yeah. Great. Back there. So question around, do we have plans to release a non-display touch version of LRS? We focused firstly on the immersive, collaborative nature of the product, which does involve touch. And we did talk about, in terms of our vision and roadmap, achieving further enhancements there. We will look at the segment and see if there's something that maybe not for meeting rooms that doesn't need touch, where you could get a benefit from having a non-touch screen. But we don't have firm plans in that direction right now. Yeah, so a comment is they've deployed a few, touch isn't being used that much, and it's a comparatively high expense for a feature you don't use. But we will be making more and more enhancements that will make touch more valuable and more used, even if you aren't using the interactive whiteboard that already exists and getting value out of it. So the benefit of Linkroom Systems is we are able to enhance the product even once you have the hardware deployed, and it was intentional that we would be doing that. Any other questions? So certainly from our field perspective, if you know who your account managers are, otherwise feel free to go up to Zia and mention your who you are, and he'll be able to put you in touch with anyone who'd be happy to help out. Okay. Thanks very much. Do you have a question or comment? Okay. Great. Well, I think we're just about on time now, so thanks very much for attending. The after-lunch session, as is always an interesting one, but hope you found this valuable. Thank you.